This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Visit charlottesville.org/dialogue or call City Hall 970-3101. A small commitment of your time can go a long way in making Charlottesville a great place to live for all.
Countdown for blast off. X minus 5. 4, 3, 2, X-1, fire.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon and happy Tuesday. It's 84 degrees here in Central Virginia. My name is Coy Barefoot. This is Charlottesville Right Now. News Radio 1070 WINA. We're live, we're local. This is where Charlottesville comes to talk in the afternoons. Wanted to let you know, coming up on Thursday, we'll talk live with Stephen Gutwillig. He is the state director of the Drug Policy Alliance Network. He thinks the time has come, the time has long come, and been here, to legalize marijuana use in America. We've seen a local call recently for that. We'll get the insight from one of the nation's experts that advocates for this position. We'll find out why, from his perspective, it makes sense. We'll also talk a little local growth and development and politics with Brian Wheeler, and Lowell Feld will also join me with his take on the latest news regarding the Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Virginia, Ken Cuccinelli. Richard Nash joins me on the program. He is the former publisher at Soft Skull Press, now an imprint of Counterpoint. He is initiating a new online startup, Think Cursor. It's thinkcursor.com. You can find him online at rnash.com. Richard, how are you, sir?
Very good, Coy. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining me. I have so many questions. We're going to talk about the book publishing business, and the best place to start is the iPad. Huge news recently. The iPad is revolutionizing what we think of as books and how we access books and reading. So the question for you is the iPad and things like it, the Kindle and whatnot, the Nook, and are these going to make books a thing of the past, like the LP record?
They won't be a thing of the past, but the iPad and its ilk are certainly things of the future, and they'll coexist alongside books. One of the interesting things about the music business right now is that the LP is actually the fastest growing part of the music business. It's a nostalgia thing. And so I think there will be always people who are deeply attached emotionally to the physical book object, but there's an enormous opportunity by putting books on platforms like the iPad that people who might not ordinarily read books are going to have in their bags, and it's great to get books into those bags.
We're talking with Richard Nash. Richard, let me read one of your quotes that I heard you say recently, and then have you sort of flesh this out for us. You said that the publishing business is not in trouble because there's no demand for books. It's in trouble because there are changes afoot in how best to satisfy the demand, and that publishers are often managing their own demise instead of reinventing the process by which the demand is satisfied. Explain that for us.
Well, basically, we got, for many, many, many years, we thought that our business was the business of printing, shipping, and shelving books in bookstores. And all along, we were actually in the writer-reader connection business. That's what I like to say. And that's what, you know, every writer wants to be read. Getting a book published is a means to that end, and it's no longer the only means to that end. And it's never an end in itself. The end is finding readers, is connecting writers and readers. But we got locked up in our past as a manufacturing business. It wouldn't cost much more for us. It wouldn't cost much less to publish a book of pidgin Latin than it would to publish a book by an actual writer, because so much of the cost is swallowed up in shipping, printing, and all that sort of thing. So we need to get back to the true basis of publishing, which is to connect writers and readers and be a little bit more open-minded about how we actually accomplish that.
We're talking with Richard Nash. rnash.com is the website. You can also check out thinkcursor.com, which we'll talk about in just a minute here. Any writers listening, it's 977-1070, or any readers. Any readers in America still out there? And let me ask you that. I joke about that, but am I misguided in thinking that there are these good old days when America would snuggle up with a book, you know, before television, and when I'm thinking of Fitzgerald and Hemingway when they were churning out short stories in weekly magazines that would go out across the country. Is there those good old days, and have we seen just America abandon the book? Is that just a stereotype, or is there truth to it?
Well, there's certainly truth to the fact that there used to be far fewer forms of media competing for the public's attention. There was a time when the book was the only thing there was, and certainly other things have come along, newspapers, radio, television, films, and the internet. Now, so books have to compete with a lot more stuff, and it's also true that Americans have less leisure time. The average, white-collar professional used to leave her job at 5 p.m., and now she doesn't get out of work till 8 p.m., and there's a lot more people with two people working at home, so one of them doesn't have the time to read that he or she might have once had. So that stuff is all true, but the flip side, when I started in publishing 10 years ago, we all thought that television was killing us, and now it turns out that the internet is killing television, and what's happening on the internet, people are reading. People are reading words. They may not be reading 75,000-word novels right now, but I think there is an enormous opportunity. I think there are readers out there. I think we are actually rediscovering reading. What we need to do is connect longer-form reading to those people who are happily abandoning television right now and reading lots of words online, and we need to get them reading longer-form words.
We're talking with Richard Nash. He's one of the most sought-after consultants to the publishing business, formerly of Soft Skull Press. Richard, talk about your vision for the future of publishing and share with us what you think it's going to look like. I've heard you say that, publishers will eventually have to abandon the mid-list authors and that authors will become more like what we see of today as like singing stars.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that the very biggest name writers things will change relatively little for them. The ones that are almost like Hollywood movie studio stars. But for everybody else, mid-list authors and below, long-tail authors, let's say, people for whom their readership might be 1,000 or 10,000, maybe even 20,000, those writers, the big publishers can't figure out how to make money on those writers anymore, and it's going to get harder and harder for them to do so. But there's actually an enormous opportunity for those writers to band together in like-minded clusters. And you could call those clusters publishers, communities, collectives. You could give any name to it at all. But let's call them sort of publishing communities. And by like-minded writers getting together, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And they can do not just book publishing, but also the promoting of their careers, teaching, the promoting of high-end, artisanal, limited edition books, super cheap digital books, as well as, conventional trade paperbacks getting sold in retailers. And if you've got that kind of critical mass of whole is greater than the sum of the parts, then that's how readers discover writers they like. Because that's the number one reason somebody reads a book is because they've liked that writer's previous book. The number two reason is that a friend has liked that author's previous book or liked that book. So it's all a word of mouth kind of thing. And if you can collect writers together in these tight little clusters, then you've really got an opportunity to help writers discover new readers and help readers discover new writers.
Do you think there's a chance we're going to see, we're talking with Richard Nash, rnash.com is the website. Are we going to see a resurgence in regional publishers? We've lost so many of them over the last 20 years. They've just evaporated because the business model didn't work for them. But might we see those come back, the sort of smaller presses that serve these niche markets?
I think so. And in fact, you know, I think there'll be kind of, I think of two broad categories of categories. One is categories of subject matter, genre, romance, science fiction, crime, and then another category is what you just said, is regional. And what I think is quite possible is that they could find, we could find independent booksellers and publishers becoming almost a kind of a single entity, where you have a venue where books are sold, but where there is events and where there is a publishing business that has a cluster of regionally coherent writers. I mean, I actually especially think of writers coming out of Appalachia, the Blue Ridge Mountains. There's a real voice, I find, to those writers, and there's a real kind of coherence to that voice. A reader who likes one tends to like another.
We're talking with Richard Nash. The website is rnash.com and also thinkcursor.com. Richard, tell us about Cursor. The website is thinkcursor.com. What's the vision there?
Well, the vision there is to build a platform that allows the kind of communities that I've been describing to thrive. Our goal certainly is to actually build a few communities ourselves. And the first of which will be called Red Lemonade, and that will be a lot like the kind of books I used to publish at Soft Skull Press, quite edgy and alternative, but that there would be subsequent communities that would be based on subculture and genre that would be examples of these kinds of communities. And I would be doing that both to serve the communities, but also to kind of refine the platform and the business model, and then license that platform out to potentially hundreds or thousands of communities that want to have this a functionality to be able to publish conventionally, publish digitally, run classes, run workshops, online and offline, and build communities that allow writers and readers to connect with one another.
It sounds like as we see the mainstream, the big publishers, many of them go out of business, consolidate, fewer and few, and as they abandon the mid-list authors, you know, as you say, folks selling, you know, 20,000 copies or less of a book, it sounds like a huge business opportunity because there's a lot of authors out there who might sell 5 to 20,000 copies of a book.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's I think there's a real business opportunity, and I think there's a real cultural opportunity. And I'd say the cultural opportunity goes even below 5,000. I mean, I think there's people out there who've written, you know, a beautiful history of a local business, or the memoir of a local politician's memoir, or that sort of thing, which is, you know, there's a lot more to that project than a self-publishing operation can give, but it doesn't have necessarily a national audience, and I think there's an enormous number of different kinds of projects that can benefit from a more broad church approach to publishing.
We're talking with Richard Nash. He's one of the most sought-after consultants in the publishing business today. He's tracking the changes in media that are absolutely revolutionizing the book as we know it. So what we have to get used to, Richard, I guess, is reading more books online or on screens? Is that just a given?
I mean, there will be more reading of books on screens. Now, I don't think that the reader that doesn't want to do that is going to find themselves forced to do that. If a reader still prefers prefers, enjoys the physical book, I think publishers are going to be crazy not to make sure that she or he can do that. So I feel that anyone who wants to read in the old way has nothing to fear. They're still going to be able to do that. I just think that people will also be able to now increasingly choose to be able to read on screen. It'll be cheaper in many cases, depending on your lifestyle. It'll be easier and more convenient, and it'll be your choice.
So before we let you go, your advice, and I know you're asked this question all the time, but your advice for writers, because I'm sure there's some, you know, this is Charlottesville, and every other person here has a novel in them, and they're working on one. And so your advice for these writers who, you know, they're at work on a novel that they're passionate about, a story they want to tell, and yet at the same time, they're watching what's happening in the publishing business, that it's getting more and more difficult to publish your first novel.
It is getting more difficult to do that process of sending your manuscript to New York to an agent and hoping that some publisher there will publish it and kind of wave a magic wand and make you famous. But it is getting much easier to find readers who will like your book. And you do that by participating in your writing and reading community. You know, go to the Festival of the Book there, meet your fellow writers, meet readers, meet the editors of literary journals and online literary magazines. They're a great stepping stone. Publish an excerpt of your novel with them, or a short story or an essay with them, and you get readers through that way, and follow your favorite writers on their blogs. Many of them blog right now, and post comments. Go to reading series. Participate, and when you participate, you'll get a you'll suddenly find yourself with followers, with readers, with fans, and that process will grow and grow and grow to the point where whatever exact institution it is that ends up helping you publish, whatever name it is, we might not know right now, but over the next few years, you'll be laying all the groundwork to be a success when that time comes.
Richard Nash of Cursor, thinkcursor.com. You can also check him out at rnash.com as well. Richard, an honor to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to have chatted with you, Coy, and your listeners. Thank you very much.
We'll take a break for local news and weather. We're back in just a few minutes. My name is Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now.
55 million Americans suffer from autoimmune diseases such as lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, or MS. These diseases, more prevalent in women than men, are caused by an overactive immune response that attacks one's own body. They're among the top 10 killers of women under 65. Medical professionals, the general public, and especially women should be aware of the more than 100 autoimmune diseases and the problems they can cause. The American Autoimmune Related Diseases.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit sevillepodcast.com for more.